You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee.
Hello from me, Dan Roebuck, as the American Bubba Watson sees off an all-star field in Shanghai to win the WGC HSBC Champions events courtesy of a playoff.
To win outside the US, that's one of my goals. My goal has always been to get 10 wins. Now I've got 7. Win a World Golf Championship, one of our premier events. And again, outside the US, this means a lot. This is very special to me.
We'll hear from Watson, as well as the man he beat at the first extra hole, South Africa's Tim Clark.
You know, I fought hard. I knew I needed to birdie that playoff, especially with him being able to reach. But, you know, I'm pleased overall. You know, obviously disappointed to be that close. But, yeah, I just needed to play the hole in the playoff better.
Clark and Watson finished on 11 under par, one shot clear of Ricky Fowler, Hiroshi Iwata, and the man who led the field after rounds 1, 2, and 3, Graham McDowell.
Didn't play well this week. I have to be brutally honest with you. I didn't play my best, and you know, I'll take it. To finish third in the style I did, I'm disappointed. To finish third playing the way I did, I'm pretty happy.
So a full review of the WGC HSBC Champions to come at the Shishan International Golf Course, as well as a preview of this week's Turkish Airlines Open, the last tournament before the race to Dubai reaches its final destination. It's a very good day to Robert Lee. Rob, how are you?
Good day to you. Excellent. Couldn't be better. Thank you very much for asking.
Fantastic events out in Shanghai and a terrific performance in the end from Bubba Watson, who nearly threw the title away.
Well, he did. You know, coming down that stretch, the great thing about that course, which we discussed on last week's podcast.
We talked about it last week, the finish, didn't we?
Risk-reward finish. That's 15, tough par 4, 16 you can drive, 17, par 3 that has to be played well, and 18, the risk-reward par 5. You know, so many things can happen, and did. And then with Bubba Watson, with mistakes at 16, a double at 17, it didn't look good for him. And then Tim Clark sticking it in there to, what, 4 or 5 feet at the last hole, and it looked like Bubba was going to just fizzle out. Then he produced a miracle bunker shot.
Was it the best finish to a high-profile tournament this year, do you think?
It's up there. It's certainly up there, because you think to Rory's wins, he was pretty much in control when he won. Bubba, when he won the Masters, always looked coming up the stretch like he was going to win it.
US Open.
8-shot victory for Martin Kaymer. Yeah, you're taking the other WGCs. I think that probably was. It didn't look like Bubba had enough after he'd played 16 and 17 and somehow holds a bunker shot for an eagle.
But this is what Bubba does.
Yeah, it's Bubba golf.
This is his MO. This is how he wins tournaments.
You sound American there when you said MO.
He's terrific, isn't he, to watch?
He is not only a unique individual. I think mentally he's unique, and mentally the way he sees the game of golf is pretty unique. You know, swinging the ball so far from left to right and right to left. No one does that. He paints pictures. His pictures are big. They're big, big arcs on all the shots, and it's not a straightforward thing for him, but it's great to watch because there's a lot of imagination going on there.
Bubba Watson and Tim Clark finished on 11 under and went to the playoff, which we'll talk about in just a second, but there were other players that perhaps should have got to the playoff as well. First of all, Graham McDowell, who led after day one, day two, day three, had a putt to get into the playoff, but didn't manage to hold it. He must have been disappointed, G-Mac.
You know, 267s to start for Graham and still leading with a round to go. I think he really would have fancied the job. Having said that, you know, he misses by one shot because he shot 73. And in his own words, he didn't have his A game. And yet he was still very competitive. So Graham can take a lot of pluses out of that.
And of course, Martin Kaymer put it in the drink on 18.
He was going better than that. It really wasn't the last hole that cost him, because he finished minus 8. Bubba Watson finished 11 under. You know, if you're going to make a mistake at the last, because there were fractions involved with that pin right at the back when you were pitching, you're trying to get it close, you're only a couple of yards from going in the water, you've got to press. I'd rather see a guy do that, not worried about finishing second or fifth, than a guy just chunking it short to 20 feet, two putting and making a few extra quid. Give me the guy who goes for it every time.
We're going to hear from G-Mac and Martin Kaymer shortly, but just talk us through the playoff first of all, because it was Tim Clark versus Bubba Watson. Both had opportunities, but it was Bubba once again holding out.
Tim Clark, 3-shot strategy. He's not the longest player in the world, but he's very steady Eddie with the irons. He gave himself maybe, what, a 20-footer perhaps for a birdie, left it right in the jaws short, and the same bunker for Bubba Watson. You're thinking, well, he's got this bunker shot taped, and he left it way, way short and had a really super speedy putt down the hill. But it was in exactly the same line as the whole bunker shot. That actually went in like a putt as it rolled down the hill. So he knew the line and hit a very sensitive putt down the hill And it was perfect, wasn't it? Dropped in the front door, thanks very much.
Two very different players in terms of their style. Tim Clark has suggested that he has to cut his cloth accordingly. He can only play golf courses like the one in Shanghai a certain way. He can't play it like Bubba. Two very different styles, but they both make the playoff. It proves that you can play the game in different ways.
Look at Jim Furyk's position in the world rankings. Top five or six he is, so and he can't adopt the power game. That's not in his game. He's got to play precise, measured golf, and in the end you try and wear down the field, and Tim Clark nearly did. He finished tied first after 72 holes, 11 under par with Bubba Watson. But Tim Clark's got a big thing on the horizon for him because chipping's not his favourite thing. He's not great at that. And he's got one more year with a long putter. And then he's going to have to change to or find a... He can still use the long putter, but not the way he uses it. So he's got problems ahead.
We will hear from Tim Clark shortly. But first up, our winner, Bubba Watson, who is delighted with his victory in Shanghai.
It means a lot. To win outside the US, that's one of my goals for my career. My goal has always been to get 10 wins. Now I've got 7. Win a World Golf Championship, one of our premier events, and again outside the U.S. This means a lot. This is very special to me. This one's going to be go down for a while for me. Not because of the great shots that I hit, but because of just winning here.
But elaborate, you did hit some great shots. I know in your speech you said it was crazy. It was a weird kind of day, wasn't it?
It was. You know, I bogeyed the first hole after hitting 2 good shots, I thought, and then making some birdies on the front there. And then, a tough shot on 16 for me because of the way the lie was. 17, just a bad hole. And then 18, hit it in the bunker, and then out of nowhere, hole it. You know, so when I messed up on 17 with the bunker shot and then hit a perfect bunker shot on 18, it was weird. When you add that up, you know, Clark was in there tight, had a chance to win, and then I hole it before he putts. And then again, same bunker, hit not quite as good bunker shot, but the putt was exactly how the first bunker shot was. So I knew the break, I knew how fast it was, and somehow it went in.
Well, presumably after 17, for a brief moment at least, you might have thought, I might have blown this.
You know, what we looked at is that I was only one off the lead. So an eagle was heroic and had a chance to win, but a birdie still had a outside shot of you have nobody else birdied. And so we knew we were in it, but to actually come out that way was pretty remarkable.
You touched on this right at the start, but genuinely to win in China, to win outside the United States, that does ensure that you're a world player and recognized as such.
Yeah, for my own personal career, you know, this is big for me. To win outside the U.S., to say that I can travel a little bit and win instead of just one place. So it's nice. It's nice for me to get a jump start on that and get that early before late in my career.
It's good for the game, isn't it, that a player such as Bubba has won outside of the US? Because we look at the Americans sometimes and say, well, you know, they like to play on the PGA Tour. They don't always travel to all the events that they can play in. But they did really well in Shanghai, and hats off to Bubba.
Well, the great thing for HSBC is that the PGA Tour have now adopted this as a proper counting tournament, not only for FedEx Cup points, but for dollars earned. So it's properly embedded in their tour. And that's why the field was so much better this year. That's why so many Americans travel, because it's a big event at the start of their new season, the 14-15 wraparound. It's a big incentive to get some points on the board. Great amount of points for Bubba Watson. I always think with Bubba, he's never quite sure what shot he's going to hit. He knows what shot he's trying to hit, but he doesn't always hit the one he thinks he's going to hit. That's what makes him unpredictable, and that's what makes him capable of amazing things like the way he finished.
Third win of the calendar year. Of course, he scored at the Masters at Augusta and won at Riviera. First WGC victory in his 16th appearance. First winner of the WGC HSBC Champions via a playoff, and the victory comes in his third appearance in the WGC Champions. And he's moved to third in the official world golf rankings from 7th. More on those numbers to come later on the Race to Dubai show. Let's hear from runner-up next, Tim Clark, who was philosophical in defeat.
Wouldn't have expected to be in that position start of the week. So, you know, I fought hard. I knew I needed to birdie that playoff, especially with him being able to reach. But, you know, I'm pleased overall. You know, obviously disappointed to be that close.
Well, the way you started today, it's a remarkable run on that back nine to even get that close, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I had a few shaky holes there in the middle of that front nine, which was a pity because I was playing good. I felt like I was playing good and putting good too. So that was a shame. And from there, it was always going to be tough. But, you know, I managed to get myself back into the playoff. You probably play better when it's like that, when you're not expecting a whole lot. And you know, I just try to play this course smart, and in the end, it was enough to give me a shout.
He's a good player, Tim Clark. He won the Canadian Open, of course, earlier on this campaign. He's a player that perhaps should have won more than his CV
players
has got
champion.
On it. Indeed.
Yeah, first event he won the PGA Tour was a Players Championship. So, you know, Tim Clark can play. He's, as I said before, he's a type of guy that goes out there and just wears the golf course down. That's how he plays. I think he would consider himself pretty unlucky, because if Bubba's bunker shot doesn't go in, nobody else tied him, he would have won.
Graham McDowell finished tied third on 10 under par. The Northern Irishman led the tournament after each of the first three rounds, but says he wasn't happy with how he played.
To be brutally honest, I didn't have my A game all week, battling my golf swing. You know, I really didn't hit it very well Friday, okay yesterday. Today was kind of ugly. I had the rights going. I couldn't stop it. I played the last couple of holes okay, gave myself opportunities, but the game just wasn't good enough to compete this week. In the end, the golf course just got so difficult this weekend. The pins were evil at times, and you really had to be on with your iron play to have a chance to access them, and I didn't play well enough, simple as that. And the putter that was so hot early in the week kind of cooled off this weekend, and yeah, of course disappointing, but you know, to finish T3 in this type of field, not playing my best, I gotta count myself fairly fortunate.
T3, as GMAC suggested there, playing well below his best. No mean feat.
No, GMT3, that's all very good. Graham's had a funny season, really. Almost season. He's in the top 10 in the Race to Dubai. It's been an almost season for him, and he's got himself in shape in the last week. It didn't work out. I think that's a tremendous performance. When I know what it's like to struggle with your swing when you're going around, you're trying to make a score. It's not easy. But Graham is a really, really good player of the game. The game of golf is a game, first and foremost, and a lot of players lose sight of that because they think it's about swing perfection, and you've got to get over that, get past that. It's about the game, playing the game, and Graham played the game with what he had that week with his swing and finished third. Commendable, the right attitude.
Alongside McDowell in third, Japan's Hiroshi Iwata and the American Ricky Fowler, who found the water at the final hole rather than the birdie he needed to make the playoff.
Happy to be in contention, coming right back out, first event of the year. A few mistakes kept me from getting the win, but like I said, I'm happy with some good solid play. You know, coming down the last, had a good opportunity there on 18 and hit the shot I wanted to. Just got a little bit more hurt and played a little longer than I was expecting.
Top 10 machine, isn't he, Ricky Fowler? But should he win more?
I've got him down as a breakthrough player for this year on the PGA Tour because what he's not adding to his CV right now are enough wins. And I do think that needs to come his way. And I do think it will come his way. I think he's done a phenomenal job with Butch Harmon in completely revamping his swing. I mean, not just a little, a lot. Made a big change and was able to play fairly quickly with it. He's become effective. Top five in the majors this year all the way through. That's almost a mini Grand Slam in itself. And I've got Ricky Fowler down to be a breakthrough player in as much as he will win more than one event this year coming up. I think he's a tremendous talent. Not just a poster boy. He's the real deal.
And as for Iwata, of course, he knew success would have brought a PGA Tour card. He was very disappointed afterwards that he missed out on the playoff. Another player who missed out on the playoff was Germany's Martin Keimer, who, of course, found water on the 18th.
Very disappointing finish. I had a lot of chances today. I had a very, very good chance to win the tournament. It was not the others. It was my own fault today. So, unfortunately, couldn't finish it off. I had a lot of chance on the first nine. Had a couple of three putts, missed a short putt. And then on 18, there was obviously a little shocker for me. I thought I had a very good yardage and then came off very, very hot with the third shot and flew the green, which was very surprising for me too.
Well, later in the podcast, we'll be hearing from Craig Connolly, Martin Keimer's caddy, on what went wrong in Shanghai for the German. Tips from last week next. I went for Sergio Garcia, had a shocking start and then rallied to finish tied 28th. Rob, you went for Justin Rose.
I did. I'm surprised with the performances of both players.
Yes, so am I, actually.
After the week before, Sergio looked nailed on, didn't he? A course and distance winner and finished so well in the CIMB. Justin came back from a poor start in Shanghai to finish high up, and I would have thought it was a natural for both those to press on, but the game of golf will be conquered by no man.
It's a win for me, though, isn't it? That's what we're saying with the selections.
Well, I tied you in the eighth bit, but you had 20 places ahead of me. Yeah, okay. Well done.
Excellent. Top 10s from last week. We need the top 10 on the leaderboard from the WGC. HSBC Shanghai. Rob.
Yes, the top 10 at the WGC Shanghai HSBC Champions was Bubba Watson first, Tim Clark second by virtue of a playoff. Then the tie for third was Ricky Fowler, Hiroshi Iwata and Graham McDowell. Then sixth tied was Martin Keimer, Torbjørn Erlesen, Ian Poulter. In ninth was the Australian Mark Leishman, former Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour. And tied 10th, Jason Duffner and Brant Snedeker.
Americans doing well. What about the Race to Dubai final series standings?
Well, the Race to Dubai final series standings is thus. Rory McIlroy has an almost unassailable lead, 5,400,700 points. Next best is Jamie Donaldson, 2,457,164 points. You would say that is done and dusted with two to go. Sergio's third, Marcel Seam fourth, Alex Levee fifth, Henrik Stenson sixth, Justin Rose seventh, Thomas Bjorn eighth, Graham McDowell ninth, Martin Keimer in the top 10.
World rankings next, Mr. Lee. Any sort of changes?
Yeah, there is a change. Big change at the top, actually. Not quite the top, but just three back from Rory McIlroy. He's in one, Adam Scott in two. Bubba Watson moves up to third with that terrific win in Shanghai. Sergio's in fourth. Jim Furyk, five. Henrik Stenson, six. Justin Rose, seven. Jason Day, eight. Ricky Fowler, nine. Matt Kuchar, 10. Just a word on the top 10. McIlroy, Scott, Watson, Garcia, Stenson, Rose, Day, Fowler, power players.
All big hitters.
All big hitters. Matt Kuchar's, you wouldn't consider him a big hitter. He's not short. Jim Furyk's of the shorter type of hitter and is doing fantastically well to be in the world's top five. But it does seem with Martin Kaymer, Phil Mickelson, Billy Horschel, just outside the top 10, that it's festooned with power hitters.
In other news, European Tour Chief Executive George O'Grady has announced that he is to step down. O'Grady has been in the role since 2005 and will remain in position until his successor is appointed. He will then represent the tour through the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. Benjamin Hébert has become the first player in European Challenge Tour history to win three titles in one season on two separate occasions. The Frenchman won the Dubai Festival City Challenge Tour Grand Final by five shots. Bonne chance on the European Tour next season, Benjamin. Over on the US PGA Tour, Nick Taylor overcame a four-shot deficit at the Country Club of Jackson to record a two-stroke victory over Boo Weekly and Jason Bone. Taylor shot a final round 6 under par 66 to become the first Canadian-born winner on the PGA Tour since Mike Weir in 2007, a former top amateur, Nick.
Yes, plenty of weeks as a world number one amateur, Nick Taylor, and to win in your rookie season, that's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, everyone was talking about Graham Dillett as potentially the next Canadian that was going to break his duck on the PGA Tour. It will happen for Graham, but Nick Taylor's pipped him.
Finally, Dame Laura Davis narrowly missed out on becoming the oldest player to win an LPGA Tour event. The 51-year-old Englishwoman started the final round of the Mizuno Classic in Japan, tied for the lead, but finished one shot adrift of a leading trio who contested a playoff. Time to look ahead to this week's penultimate event on the 2014 Race to Dubai schedule. It's the Turkish Airlines Open by the Ministry of Youth and Sport at the Montgomery Max Royal course in Antalya. It's the final chance for golfers to make the top 60 in the Race to Dubai and be eligible for the DP World Tour Championship finale in Dubai next week. So let's talk now to someone who is in Turkey preparing for this event as we speak, the newly crowned European Tour Caddy of the Year, Craig Connolly. Craig, congratulations. Did you know that you'd won?
No, I did not. Obviously, I believe I'm a little fortuitous to win it. If we're all being honest, I think GP Fitzgerald deserves to win it with the year he's had with Rory. But you know what? Rory wasn't there, so I'll take the accolade. Thank you very much.
Well, you're voted by your peers, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. But if GP was there, then I'm sure most of the people would have voted for him, as would I. But I'll take it. I'm not proud. As you say, a W is a W, no?
Indeed it is. You are, of course, on the bag of the current US Open champion and world number 12, Martin Kaymer. What's he like to work with, Craig?
Oh, you know what? He's really, really tough. I wake up every morning ready to go to work.
Yeah, right.
Oh, he's fantastic. He's very easygoing. Obviously, he demands a lot of himself, so therefore he expects a lot out of me. And as long as I do my job, then there's no problem. But he is a very down-to-earth guy and a pleasure to be around every day.
Is it better, Craig, second time around, you and Martin?
I think it is. I can only speak for myself, but I think we learned a lot the first time around. And then obviously when we had that 14 months out, I think you learn to appreciate each other and what he couldn't tolerate out of me, I think he can now, you know. Obviously we had 14 months apart and what we had beforehand worked. So we just iron out any little bumps that are in the way and we smooth them out and it's all good now.
How different is it working with Kaymer to another golfer that you've worked for, Craig? Is he easier to work with, Martin?
Well, I wouldn't say easier. Everybody's different. Everybody expects different things from a caddy. You know, I've been very, very lucky to work with Paul Casey and Monty. I had some success with Paul, a lot of success with Paul, and I do wins with Colin as well. So I was very, very lucky to work for them when they were playing great golf, as is Martin now. So the three are very, very different, and I enjoyed working for the three of them. All three have been fantastic, and obviously right now with the success Martin's had, you know, in the past as well, it's very, very enjoyable.
Craig, does Martin share his goals with you, what he's trying to achieve in a given season?
Yeah. Throughout the year, we talk about what he wants from the year, what he expects, you know, maybe short term, but definitely long term. I think he's like every other golfer. He's obviously been at the top of the game, world's number one, and he wants to get back there. So I think right now it's about trying to win the Turkish Open this week, then trying to finish as high up as he can in the race to Dubai and get back into the world's top 10.
What about Shanghai? Because you did come close to victory. Unfortunately, Martin finding the water on the 18th, Craig.
Yeah, it was very, I don't know if unlucky is the word, just the wrong shots at the wrong time. You know, when you see 11 under playing off, we were on that score very early on, after five holes. Missed the birdie putt on 8, 9, 10, you know, made bogeys on 11 and 13. So he had his chance to win. And then playing the last, you know, just got a little bit greedy on the third shot and just hit it a little bit too hard. And obviously right at the flagstick with the water as well. But it's what it's all about. Rob, you know, to give yourself that chance to win on a Sunday, you can't ask for anything more, and just unlucky that they didn't get the job done.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you go to the next event, which is Turkey, knowing that you're playing well. What's the course like?
I'm walking up the sixth hole right now, and it's in fantastic condition. It really is. The rough's not as... I can't really remember it from last year, but it doesn't seem that penal right now. But it's in the greens look fantastic, and the sun's shining fantastic.
You're painting a lovely picture.
Oh, that's great. In about 2 hours' time, I'll be sitting by the pool drinking an ice-cold beer. I do believe it's like 4 or 5 degrees back in the UK.
Just on the course, would it suit your man this week?
I think obviously with the way I know Martin, we played here last year. I can't remember where we finished, but it's a golf course that he enjoyed playing. He enjoyed being here in Turkey as well and really enjoyed it. Obviously, he's playing well, so I don't see why it wouldn't suit him.
And obviously, after Turkey, we go to Dubai. It's the last big event of the year, and you talked about Martin's goals. If he could possibly win this week or next, that would round out a terrific season, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, to win a major, to win what they call the fifth major, if there is such a thing, the next biggest tournament outside the majors, it'd be great. And to win for a third time would be, or sorry, fourth time. He did win the Grand Slam of golf, not take that away from him. So to win either this week or next week would be very satisfying.
Well, we wish you well on the course and have a great fortnight. We will speak again soon. Many thanks for joining us and congratulations on your European Tour Caddy of the Year award.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
So, Rob, who else is competing in Turkey? Because there is a slight doubt about the defending champion.
Yeah, Victor Dubuisson, he withdrew last week with lower back problems. Let's hope that clears up, because everyone wants to go to big tournaments to try and successfully defend, and Victor will be no different, so he'll be desperate to play in Turkey. Let's hope he's fit and well to do that. He will be joined, if he does play, by Sergio Garcia, Henrik Stenson, Martin Kaymer, Jamie Donaldson, Luke Donald, Stephen Gallagher, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Ian Poulter, Joost Luiten, Tongchai Jaidi, Francesco Molinari, Jonas Blix, Brooks Koepka. It goes on. Fantastic field.
And of course, there is a subplot, because there are players battling to get into the final event of the year in Dubai. What do players need to do to be eligible to play next week?
Well, they've got to be in the top 60 in the race to Dubai. So 60 is in. That man right now is Eddie Pepperell. He's got €531,000 and change. And in 61st spot, Chris Wood. He's one of the outsiders trying to get in to make sure he's in Dubai. And he is less than 5,000 shekels behind him. So they're very tight. And there's big money at stake in Turkey. So, you know, it's very possible that Chris Wood could get past Eddie Pepperell. But then Eddie's going to make some money. So whatever Eddie makes, he's got to make at least 5,000 more than that. And as you go down to 62nd, 63rd, 64th, that exponentially increases. And the course, the chunks of money then start to, because you're into fat parts of earning on the European Tour, the chunks of money grow by the spot. So, you know, you get to sort of 67, 68, maybe 100,000.
So do we see a likely winner from that band of players? Or, Rob, are you going towards the top of the race to Dubai standings? Who'd you like to win in Turkey?
I don't see guys around the 60th position winning it, simply because they are preoccupied with the 60th position thing. They want to make it to the Tour finale, the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. They want to get there. And I think when that's on your agenda, you'll be watching that situation all week long. So I'm not going to go for someone now. I'm going to go for someone that's waiting for that breakthrough moment on the European Tour. And I think it's going to come very soon. All the names I read out, I'm going to go for Brooks Koepka.
Because?
Because I do believe he's got big time about his game. And I think that this is a big event with Dubai coming up. I think he's capable of winning any given week. And I think Brooks has shown enough over the last month, 6 weeks
went
or so.
Went close in on the PGA Tour recently.
Yes, he did. Rather like Peter Uihlein last week at the Sanderson Farms. He had a chance of winning as well. Uihlein, 65 in the final round for the American. And those two have been sort of roommates and stuff. And they've come across the European Tour. And it's been the making of them. And I think Brooks Koepka, before he disappears on the PGA Tour, and that's his home, let's face it, for an American, American that makes his way onto the European Tour and does well, it's all a precursor to going home, and Brooks will be going home for a full season. And I think he wants to make a statement here in Europe. He'll still come back and play some, I'm pretty sure of that. I think he could win in Turkey.
You've mentioned the player that I'm going to go for, Peter Uihlein, who is in that band that needs to jump into the top 60, but he's been playing well recently. This won't take a huge upsurge in form because he was top 10 in Perth and he played on the PGA Tour last week and managed to secure a top 5 finish in the Sanderson Farms Championship. He's coming back across. I'm going to go for a Peter Uihlein win.
Wow, that's amazing, because he needs to make 170.
He'll get that easy.
70.
He'll get it easy.
180,000 to get past Eddie Pepperell.
Easy.
And it's points. What are points, mate?
Prizes.
Yes, indeed.
That's just about the lot from us two for now. Many congratulations to Bubba Watson for his victory at the WGC HSBC Champions event in Shanghai. We'll be back next week to reflect on the action at the Turkish Airlines Open, as well as preview the DP World Tour Championship, where the race to Dubai reaches its exciting climax. Be sure to join us for that. But until then, from Robert Lee.
Well, don't forget my tip. It was a B last week. Bubba, I'm going for Brooks this week.
And myself, Dan Roebuck. I've gone for Peter Uihlein. Have a great week. We'll speak to you soon.